55:22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He shall never let the righteous fall. Psalm 55:22. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man whose trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Jeremiah 17:7. Psalm 56:3. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56:3. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Job 36:11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Job 36:11. And John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:12. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of James, chapter 1:6. James 1:6. You see this verse on the screen before you. If you cannot see it very well from where you're sitting, if you will look on the back of your bulletin, you will see today James 1:6. Studying God's Word is one of the great privileges which God gives to us. It's a magnificent privilege indeed. There's not anything more wonderful after salvation than for us to have the thinking, the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will never have the mind, the thinking of Jesus Christ, if we do not study His Word. And that means that we have the responsibility of doing this every single day. So I trust that that's your procedure of life, that you do not let days go by without focusing your attention upon the eternal truths of God's Word. Before we begin our study, we bow for a moment of prayer, and then we begin the reading with James 1:1. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the Word of God, that we are privileged today to once again take this magnificent book and focus our minds upon these eternal truths. We can turn our attention away from the things of the world. We can focus our minds upon that which is lasting, that which is forever. And we're thankful today that we have this magnificent book, God's Word. Help us to appreciate what we have here. Help us to know that this is the revelation of the thinking of our Savior Jesus Christ. It is the fulfillment of God's plan for mankind. It gives us our roadmap. It helps us to know how to live successfully and triumphantly every single day. And so help us to take advantage of every opportunity to advance spiritually by receiving the dissemination of your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. James 1:1. From James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to Jewish Christians scattered everywhere, greetings. Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow and don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete. James 1:5. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him. He will gladly tell you, for He is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask Him. He will not resent it. But when you ask Him, be sure that you really expect Him to tell you. For a doubtful mind will be as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. And every decision you then make will be uncertain as you turn first this way and then that. If you don't ask with faith, don't expect the Lord to give you any solid answer. I would ask you today to look carefully at the verse which we have before us, which is James 1:6. I need to tell you that there are times when I'm doing these verses, I have the responsibility of analyzing every word, looking at all the different adjectives and nouns and verbs and particles. It's my joy to do that. And sometimes when I'm doing that, I get so excited that I just make a few mistakes along the way. And so I need to tell you, first of all, that I've made some mistakes on the printing of James 1:6, and so I'll just make the corrections first. I would ask you if you'll look, please, when it says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting." I need to remind you that the word "ask" there has been exegeted for us and explained for us in the previous verse. So I didn't do it again. And so I needed to ask you, if you will, just to put down out by the side of the second line there, which is in the Greek, that the word "ask" is a repeat from verse 5, which is a present active imperative, third person singular, of aiteo, A-I-T-E-O. Now, I'm sure that most of you are probably not all that concerned about the fact that I'm doing this, but I do want you to be able to see it. Then it says, in the second line there, "nothing doubting." For the one doubting is like a wave of the sea. We'll stop there for a moment and point out the fact that we have the word "doubting" used twice there. If you'll notice that it is D-I-A-K-R-I-N-O, and then it has the suffix on it, O-M-E-N-O-S, if you're following along in the Greek text. That word "doubting" is the present middle participle, nominative masculine singular of diakrino. We'll talk about that in just a little while, but I want you to see it. So we have the word present middle participle of diakrino. If you look down in the next line, you will see "one doubting," for the one doubting. And that again is the same word. I did not repeat that. I should have. So there's the present middle participle, nominative masculine singular, again, of diakrino. Now, I hope I'm not confusing you, but I wanted you to see that I made a few mistakes here. And then it says, "is like a wave of the sea." And that word that "is" there is the perfect active indicative third person singular of aiko, E-I-K-O. Now, I need to tell you that the little letter that I put zero is not a zero, it's a P. I just hit the wrong letter there. So it's a perfect active indicative third person singular. And then you need to scratch out the aiteo and put E-I-K-O, which is a word which means appear or resemble. And then it says of the sea being driven by wind and being tossed. I need to just tell you something a little bit funny right now, since I've confused you by telling you all these mistakes I've made from the Greek text. I need to tell you that when you look at that third line down there where it says "one doubting is like," that's what is known as a simile. And I need to ask you if you know what a simile is. A simile is a figure of speech. It is a presentation of a word picture. Many times you will find in a simile the words "like" or "as." It is taking one subject and it's comparing it to another subject. And so I read this little simile. Someone told their friend, "You are acting as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs." Now, that's a simile. You're acting like a nervous, long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Now, I'm saying that the second time for you to get a mental picture of the room and the rocking chairs and a long-tailed cat and a nervous cat. That's a simile. There's a beautiful presentation here of a simile, a word picture. figure of speech, saying that when you and I are doubting, we are like a wave of the sea, being driven by wind and being tossed. And I don't need to go into all of this, but there are different Greek words that describe how the wind affects the waves of the sea. There are times when the winds affect the waves of the sea, I understand, and they roll horizontally. And there's a Greek word that describes that. And then there's another Greek word that describes how the wind is in turmoil in the water, and it focuses the water up in little spikes. So if you have a mental picture there, it's interesting to see that there's a presentation of the different types of difficulties that believers have when they've chosen to doubt God's word, doubt God's plan for their lives. So this scripture says, let him ask. It's a command to do that. In faith, the word faith there means to trust. It comes actually from that great chapter of the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, when it says that we are to believe in God and to be aware of the fact that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It says that here we're to ask a command in faith. And then you'll notice it says, nothing doubting. That's an interesting word. The Greek word there, as I've already pointed out, is diakrino. We have two parts of a word there. The prefix of the first part of the word is what is known as dia. It's a preposition, and it means through. And krino means to judge, or to be discerning, or to be able to see through, or to cut through. It's a legal term. And so it says, nothing doubting. Then it goes on to describe that person who's doubting is like a wave of the sea being driven by wind and tossed. There are different translations of this verse. And so, since I've already announced to you that we're going to be here a little longer, I can be relaxed and go slowly and go through some things that I normally would not. The Amplified New Testament of this verse says, only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, no hesitation, no doubting. For the one who wavers, the one who doubts, the one who hesitates is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. A beautiful way to present it in the Amplified New Testament. The New Living Bible presents the verse in this fashion. But when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to answer. Now, when we ask God, do we really expect Him to answer? And the New Living Bible goes on to say, for a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. I hope that as I go through these verses, that you can begin to conclude some things about yourself and your own life, in relationship to whether you are confident and you are in a position of your Christian advance that you're not doubting and you're not wondering and you're not punching panic buttons and you're not falling apart when difficulty comes your way or my way. I want to make this as practical as possible. The New Living Bible says, when you ask Him, be sure that you really expect Him to answer. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea, a simile there, that is driven and tossed by the wind. The J.B. Phillips presents it, but he must ask in sincere faith without secret doubts as to whether he really wants God's help or not. Now I'm going to spend a little time on that one. Notice what it says. He must ask in sincere faith, without secret doubts, as to whether he really wants God's help or not. The man who trusts God, but with inward reservations, is like a wave of the sea, carried forward by the wind one moment and carried back, driven back by the wind the next moment. All I'm asking today is for us to put a circle, imaginary circle around our self. Don't put an imaginary circle around your husband or wife or child or mother or dad. Put the imaginary circle around yourself. And let's just say, I want to look within this imaginary circle. And I want to find out what my condition is inside of this imaginary circle. We must ask in faith, without secret doubts as to whether he really wants God's help or not. He must trust God with no inward reservations. Because if there are inward reservations there, it's like a wave of the sea carried forward by the wind one moment and carried back by the wind the next moment. Are you seeing why I enjoy these various translations? The Weiss translation goes like this. But let him be presenting his request in a trusting attitude, not in an expression of that hesitation which vacillates. For the person who vacillates is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. One other translation, the Word Bible commentary, says, let the asking, however, be accompanied with faith and not doubting. For the doubter is like the billowing sea driven by the wind and tossed about. Now, in a few moments, I'm going to give you about 7 points, but let me enjoy this just a little bit longer before I begin to give you these 7 points. I need to tell you that there's an emphasis in the Scripture on the subject of faith. If you'll notice, this verse says, he must ask in faith. And the word faith asked there is the word that is a command. It is a verb that tells us we're commanded to ask. And then we're to do it without any doubting. And then it explains what the doubting is like. Perhaps you remember that I gave you these words. Now, I want you to know that Pat Sorter has caused me to have an inferiority complex. Because he tells me over and over again, I can't see from where I'm sitting. He doesn't say it just like that. And I'm going to ask him to move forward to the front row where he can see. Now, no, I'm not. I'm just kidding him. He's saying, you can go ahead and use more transparencies. I'm trying to be conservative. These transparencies cost. And so I try to be conservative with the Lord's money. And so that's the reason why oftentimes I put the words small. And then you are sitting on the back row, on the amen corner, the deacon's row. Did you notice how I said that? And you can't see from where you're sitting. That's all right. So I'm going to try to let you see that I can help you. There are Hebrew words here, and there are Greek words. I've already given this to you, but I want to reiterate these Greek words for faith. I've gotten this written out so that I can tell you what they mean. And if you can't see from where you're sitting, I'm going to try in a few moments perhaps to write these a little bit larger. So the first one is the word, and I'll put it in the Greek, P-I-S-T-I-S. Is that okay? Can you see that now? That is the first word that's up there. The word pistis is a noun. It means reliable, faith. I like this because it's so fantastic. It means believing that which is to be believed. If you go to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, which we call the faith chapter, the hero chapter, it begins over and over again with the expression, believing that which is to be believed. And so it's an emphasis upon faith. There's the first word. It's the word that's a noun. The second word is an adjective. which is P-I-S-T-O-S, pistos. That word means dependable. It means inspiring of trust. It means believing. I'm trying to help you see how fantastic these words are. The third word that's up here is P-I-S-T-E-U-O, pistuo. And that Greek word is a verb, of course. It means to be convinced. It means to be a believer. It means to believe. I've said this many times, and all of you probably remember this, that if I say faith, that's pistis, or pistos, but if I say believe, I believe, I use the Greek word pistuo. Now, can you see that the word pistuo actually comes from the noun or the adjective pistis or pistos, which simply means faith? So if I say to you, I believe, literally I'm saying, I have faith it. That's the literal meaning of believe. I have faith it. To believe, to be convinced. The next word is P-E-I-T-H-O, pitho. That word, pitho, is also a verb. It means to obey in the present tense. It means to be persuaded in the aorist tense. It means to have confidence in the perfect tense. And it means faith in any of the other tenses. So, pitho, P-E-I-T-H-O, it means to obey in the present tense. It means to be persuaded in the aorist tense. It means to have confidence in the perfect tense. And it means faith in all the other tenses. The last one I put up here is P-I-S-T-O-O, pistoo. That also is a verb. Actually, this word is interesting in that it means to show oneself faithful. It means to have a feeling of confidence. Now, do you know you're saved? Do you really know you're saved? If you know you're saved, based not upon your feelings, but upon the Word of God, you can say, I know I'm saved, with confidence. That's a feeling, an acceptance of confidence. It's a feeling that's not based upon feeling. Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, it is a confidence, it's a feeling that is based upon the acceptance of what God said He would do if we would trust Him. Isn't it beautiful to be able to see that these Greek words describe faithing it, believing it, trusting it, accepting it, and being convinced that you have what God said He would give you? You may wonder why I harp on this or reiterate it or recapitulate, because I want you to know that there are many people who say that they are Christians, and then you ask them, are you sure you're going to heaven when you die? Well, I hope so. You know, have you had people to say that, do that? Now, what kind of confidence is that? What kind of trust is that? That's doubting. That's what this verse is all about. What does this verse say? If you are where you ought to be, you're going to ask. It's a command to do it. And you're going to ask in faith without any doubting. Because the Scripture says, with a simile, the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Now, let me go very quickly to these Hebrew words. Now, I want you to know that the Hebrew words are very interesting, and there are about, 10 different words here. If you want to write these down, look them up yourself. The first one is A-H-M-A-N. It's a verb. It means to believe without merit. I'm going to go through these rapidly. The second word is imoon, E-I-M-O-O-N. It's a noun. It means belief. It means faithfulness. The third word that's on the screen is Imunah, E-I-M-O-O-N-A-H, and that is a noun, and it is the word which means steadiness, truth, doctrine, faith. The next word is Amin, A-H-M-E-I-N. It's a noun, it means truth. The next word is Omein, O-H-M-E-I-N. It's a word with faithfulness. You may think I'm going rapidly. I am, because I want to get down to these last words because I want to explain them more in detail. The next word is Emeth, E-M-E-T-H. It's a noun. It's one of the strongest words in the Hebrew language for truth or faith. Now we're going to look at the last four. The next word is Batak, B-A-H-T-A-K. It's a verb. It's a word which means to trust in. It means to rest upon God's faithfulness. We usually use that terminology, rest in faith. It's the word Batak, a word originally used by wrestlers for giving someone a body slam. It is used in Psalm 37:3 and Psalm 91:2. The real meaning of this is that you and I take our troubles and our difficulties, our problems, and we, in essence, slam them. Take those troubles and cast them on the Lord. I'm not trying to be rude or mean. I'm just simply saying that we take them from ourselves and we cast them over to Him. This verb is used extensively in the Old Testament, the word batak. I told you on Wednesday night that it was my responsibility to conduct a funeral service Saturday morning, for a young man that we've known for 44 years. I explained on Wednesday night that when we moved to Baytown in 1966, we didn't realize that we had to have a place to put our furniture. I mean, we didn't have a house. We'd been living in a parsonage. We'd been accustomed to living in a home that had been furnished by the church. But when we were called to Baytown, we just had the truck come and load up all of our belongings, and we moved on down here. And when we got here, there was a truck with our furniture. We didn't have a house. And so they had to put the furniture in storage, and they put us in the old Holiday Inn on 146. And we stayed there a couple of weeks, and one of the deacons came and said, "We don't want you staying in this Holiday Inn anymore. You're going to come to our house, and you're going to move in upstairs, and you and your 7-year-old and your 4-year-old daughters are going to live with us." Well, in that house, there was an 11-year-old girl, and there was a 9-year-old boy, and there was a 7-year-old girl. And that boy was Tim. But Tim was the one who died this past week. We knew him very well, and the other family members. And I considered it an honor to be asked to conduct that service yesterday. I'm just telling you that in the midst of that service, I told the folks how important it was for us to understand that there are decisions that you and I make while we're alive, but when it comes to the point of our departure, that departure time is in the hands of a sovereign God who knows the time, the place, and the manner, knows all about it. And we're to trust Him. There it is. We're to slam cast our difficulties, our problems, our heartaches, our sorrow on Him. That's the meaning of this word, batak. Rest in faith. Cast our difficulties on Him. The next word is K-A-H-S-A-H, kasah. It is used as a verb and it is used in Psalm 57:1. Now, let me tell you what this word means. It's used of a rabbit fleeing from a desert fox and finding refuge in the cleft of the rock where the fox can't reach down in there to get him. Do you have that mental picture? It's a picture of a rabbit fleeing, running from a desert fox and finding a cleft in the rock and getting in there where that desert fox cannot reach. It means to believe in the sense of finding refuge in the Word of God and taking shelter in Him. How fantastic. That's the reason why I wanted to spend a little time on these last Hebrew words. The next to the last word on the screen is Y-A-H-K-A-L. It's a verb. It means to trust in circumstances of pressure or suffering. To trust in circumstances of pressure or suffering. Now, some of you may be sitting here today and you're saying, you know what, preacher, I don't think I really need all of this. But I want to tell you something. If a loved one passes away, if you're involved or some of your family members are involved in a serious car accident and you're called to the hospital in the wee hours of the night and you're wondering how you're to face this particular situation, I trust that at that particular time you'll begin to remember some of the things that were taught from this pulpit in relationship to your confidence and trust in the Lord. That word means in the various circumstances of pressure or suffering, to trust the Lord. The last word that you see on the screen, if you can see it, Pat, is K-A-H-W-A-H. He'll probably hesitate to ever say anything to me again, since I'm embarrassing him. If the phone rings, I'll embarrass you. If you get on me too much, I will. Not really, but anyway. The last word is K-A-H-W-A-H. It's used in the sense of binding or twisting strands of fiber to make a rope. I want you to get that mental picture. The word kawa, used in the sense of binding or twisting strands of fiber together to make a rope. I'm sure that you know that threads are weak in themselves. I mean, you could take a thread and pop it, break it. But if you take threads and you weave and weave and weave and weave until you get a major rope, this means that you and I within ourselves are weak and can be broken. But if we're woven into the Lord and woven into His Word, and He's woven into us and His Word is woven into us, then we're strong. But we're not strong within ourselves. Isaiah 40:31 tells us that. Lamentation 3:21-25 tells us that. You folks are such good listeners. Now let me put this on the screen again and then give you those 7 points. I want you to see how fantastic this verse is. But let him ask. It's a command. Ask. In faith. Now, based on all those words I gave you, the Hebrew words, the Greek words, you have a little better insight now into the word faith. In the light of that trust and confidence in the Lord, when the sorrow comes, when the tragedy comes, when the difficulty comes, when the illness comes, what's your attitude going to be? Are you going to fall apart? Are you going to be nervous and jittery? Are you going to call the preacher? What are you going to do? You're going to rely upon the truth that you have in your soul, that you've received from God's Word over a period of time. Let him ask in faith, doubting nothing. Because the person who is doubting is like a wave of the sea being driven by wind, being tossed. Now, I told myself in preparation for this message at this time to take you to Colossians chapter 2. So I'm going to ask you, please, to go to Colossians 2. I find this verse, these two verses, so fantastic. Colossians chapter 2, let's look at verses 6 and 7. It says, "And now, just as you trusted Christ to save you," I want to be sure you found it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. And now, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust Him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with Him. Now, I like this particular translation, the Living Bible. So I'm going to read it again. And now, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust Him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with Him. Colossians 2, verse 7. Let your roots grow down into Him and draw up nourishment from Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and draw up nourishment from Him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Isn't it fantastic to see that this says, be strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your life, our lives, overflow with joy. And let your life overflow with thanksgiving for all He has done. Now, you didn't think I'd ever get to these 7 points. Here they are, quickly. One, faith requires continuous intake of God's Word. You can write that out. It's easy. Faith requires continuous intake of truth. Number two, faith is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In other words, if you want joy, real joy, understand that God has a plan for all of us. Faith is a part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Number three, faith must be exercised every single day. I realize that these are very, very simple points, but so profound. Faith must be exercised every single day. Number four, there must be applied knowledge overflowing in your life and mine. There must be applied knowledge overflowing in your mind, your life, and mine. The Scripture says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. The word dwell there means to house down. It's the Greek word which comes from kata down and the word house, which means to house down. Isn't it interesting? Number five, moving towards maturity includes daily trusting, daily faith. Moving towards maturity includes daily trusting, daily faith. The Scripture says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. Did I get that to you out, get it out to you too fast, or did you get those points? Okay. I've been told not to go so fast, and I always think I'm going so slowly. I'm dragging my feet, and then you come up to me after the service, oh, you went so fast. Number six, daily occupation with the Lord is absolutely essential. Daily occupation with the Lord. In other words, the Scripture says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, looking unto Jesus. Number seven, and you probably didn't want me to deal with this one, but along life's way, we're going to have some suffering. Some of the suffering comes as a result of our disobedience, but a lot comes because it is God's way of advancing us. We call it undeserved suffering. So undeserved suffering will test and strengthen our faith. Undeserved suffering will strengthen and test our faith. I think it's kind of fun to extend this service a little longer. I may do this again. You folks have such a wonderful time in the break, and I'm glad for that. So you're going to have about 18 minutes instead of 15. Our scripture says, "Let him ask in faith, doubting nothing. For the one doubting is like a wave of the sea, being driven by the wind, being tossed." May we bow for a moment of prayer. The last moment is designed for those who hear this message by way of the internet. We've been talking about faith. That's what is necessary for you as an unsaved person to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's to trust Him, to have faith and believe Him. He said He would save you if you'll trust Him, and I can assure you that He will do exactly what He said He would do. The Scripture says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." I would encourage you to do that now. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." This tells me that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the person of Jesus Christ. "But as many as received Him," that's Christ, "to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name." You can trust Him right now. You can believe right now. You can ask Him right now to be your Savior, and He'll do just that. Father, thank You so much today for Your matchless love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86:11. Proverbs 30:5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Proverbs 30:5. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to